Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. When Kelly Teeslink was growing up, her doubts about her body started early. She started trying to lose weight before she turned 9 and eventually developed an eating disorder. Meeting Kelly today, it's hard to imagine she was ever that insecure little girl. Today, she exudes confidence and positive energy. She is an ultra marathoner, the marketing coordinator for recreational services at the University of Iowa, and the chair of the board for Girls on the Run of Eastern Iowa. She recently wrote about her running journey and transformation for the website trailsisters.net, and she is with me now. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I want to go back in time to little Kelly. As you were growing up, you have said that you started struggling with a negative body image before you were 9, although, of course, it's hard to know when. What are some of the things you remember thinking at that time?
I remember pretty much anything negative that was ever said about my body, whatever that may be. It could be I interpreted it a different way than it was meant to be, but I have a little box in my memory of all those comments that may have been made. I remember feeling that it was really important for me to be a certain way, to look a certain way, to be a certain weight. And that pretty much took over a large part of my thinking, my thoughts, pretty much all the way up through college.
Wow. So starting when you were 8 or 9 years old, and then it just built.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are some of the early things that you remember doing? I mean, a 9-year-old doesn't have a lot of information about fitness or about diets. What did you grab onto?
I remember one of my earliest memories of this is I remember receiving a Barbie workout tape. I believe it was from my grandmother. I can't be for certain, which is all fine and fun, right? Mm-hmm. Working out with Barbie. But I remember creating a workout schedule for myself and taping it to my dresser, vowing to stick with this and work out with Barbie every other day until, you know, I lost weight and I was skinny. That was the point. It was to be skinny. It was never to be healthy. It was to look like Barbie, essentially. So that is the earliest memory I have. I found diary entries when I was in 4th or 5th grade talking about how unfair it was that not everybody was skinny, because it seemed so challenging for me to be that size. I let it fester for a very long time.
When you were 14 years old, that was the first time you made yourself throw up. Tell me what you remember about that.
I remember thinking it wasn't so bad. I don't even think I, sounds weird, I don't even think I did it right, but that's probably why it didn't seem so bad. And I can't be sure. I actually think it was before like a dance, like a middle school dance or something like that. And I don't know when the next time I did it. It could have been years the next time I did it. But I have a very specific memory of trying to make myself throw up in I think maybe it was 8th grade or 9th grade.
And it's hard for you even now to think of that as bulimia. I mean, it sounds like you were in deep denial of having an eating disorder for a really long time.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. I would make up excuses as to why it wasn't an eating disorder or why I wasn't bulimic. And even saying it, I don't even think I've actually said I used to be a bulimic. That might be the first time I've actually said that. because that is, there's a certain little part of me that's embarrassed about that, which I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be ashamed of that. And that's part of the reason why I'm, you know, telling this story. Mm-hmm. But it's been a struggle to really wrap my head around exactly what I was going through and how there are probably lots and lots of other people going through the exact same thing.
Was this something that you ever talked to anybody about?
Not until I was maybe 19 or 20, and I was actually caught, if you want to use that word. Anyway, somebody close to me found out that I was doing it, and I went into counseling one or two times, but I was still in the mindset that being skinny was important to me. And even though I knew that I was going through, there was something not right. The way I was thinking about myself was not right.
But you didn't want to get better.
No, I thought being skinny was more important than that.
What about the other people in your life? I mean, this is something women talk about. They talk about their weight. They talk about their struggles with their weight. Was this something that you shared with other members of your family? Was this something that they struggled with too?
I think that growing up, it was definitely a factor the way other women around me were talking about themselves. And while it might not have been a huge factor, you know, it could have been family members. It could have been my friends saying, just constantly talking about like, oh, I need to lose 10 pounds. I need to tone up. I want my arms to look like, I mean, seeing like a magazine cover in the grocery store now makes me so frustrated because I think about like my little self probably looking at these covers saying like lose 10 pounds this way or like get nice abs. It was never about the things that mattered. And I think probably hearing those conversations around me affected me in a way that I didn't really realize until I was an adult.
Right, and other people were hearing you have those conversations.
Exactly.
So you reached a point where you decided to do Couch to 5K.
Mm-hmm.
What led you to that point? What made you decide to give that a try?
So,
and you had tried, I mean, you'd done various kinds of exercise.
Right. So I was kind of in this phase that I went through that I was trying to lose weight. It was pretty much a constant phase, but this was like a more concentrated effort, you know, exercising, eating right. And I had lost a bit of weight just doing the elliptical and things like that. And I'd always wanted to be a runner, but I hated running. And I thought that if I could go for 60 minutes on elliptical, I should be able to run for 30 minutes. Well, it doesn't really work that way. It doesn't translate. For me, it didn't anyways. And so I decided to try a more gradual effort of this 9-week Couch to 5K run-walk program. And yeah, by the end of the 9 weeks, I ran my first 5K.
Even in that training period, though, you didn't want people to see you run.
No, I was really embarrassed about running outside. I spent a lot of my time when I was training for Couch to 5K in the field house at the University of Iowa. There's an indoor track. It's a ninth of a mile. So that's where I spent a lot
so
of my
hiding,
time.
Hiding inside.
Much in the field house.
Tell me about that first 5K. What happened?
So the first 5K I ran was in June of 2010, and it was in my hometown. I went to high school in Algona, Iowa, and me and my best friend, we decided we were going to run this together, and it was a really hot day. It was no shade on the route. It was terrible, but I just thought in my mind, like, I'm not going to walk unless my friend Katie asks to walk. If she wants to walk, I will. At the end of the 5K, we hadn't walked. And I told her that, and she goes, I was thinking the exact same thing. It was hard. It was really hard, but we did it.
So achieving that, I mean, this had been a weight loss effort and probably a successful weight loss effort, but achieving that goal changed something for you. Why? What happened?
I think having that self-confidence through achievement and what my body accomplished was a whole new thing for me. I had not felt like that about my body. I wasn't really, I mean, I was a little athletic growing up, but not, I played golf mostly, actually. But I never really felt proud of my body for what it could do. It was always about what it looked like. And so achieving something that I set out to do 9 weeks prior and crossing that finish line, it was just I had never felt that before. And I don't think I recognized it at the time, but knowing what I know now and kind of looking back in that last 7 years, it was a big deal.
So where did you go from there?
I started running more miles. I remember the first time I ran 4 miles very, very specifically. You know, 5, 6, I don't remember, but for whatever reason, that 4 miles was a big deal for me. I think a couple months later, I signed up for a half marathon and completed that later that fall. And then I started dreaming bigger and signed up for a marathon, which is something I never, ever in a million years thought that that would be something that I could do, that my body could do. And it kind of kept snowballing from there. I did marathons for a couple years, and then I started running trails. And I found a newfound love for running. It was just a different kind of running. And, you know, you feel like a kid out there running in the woods, on the dirt paths, and in the trees with the animals. It's just, man, I sound like Snow White. but it's just different. And I fell in love with it. And so then there's a whole nother world of running called ultra running. And most of those races are done on trails. And that's what I do now. I run ultra marathons on the trails.
So, and not just ultra marathons, but actually up to 100 mile races.
100 mile races. Yeah.
So I can imagine, people thinking, well, it sounds like she's gone a little overboard. but let's, before we dig into that, let's talk about how your thinking changed over this time. Because you said, you know, running that first 5K, that was the first time you felt proud of what your body could do.
Mm-hmm.
How did that become a mindful thought instead of a feeling, something that you didn't really fully recognize?
Right.
How did your thinking transform?
It kind of took me a while, to be honest. When I was running marathons, you know, I was still thinking about my weight quite a bit. I was still counting calories. That was another, you know, another piece of this was I was very mindful of how many calories I was eating every single day and how many calories I was burning. So there was still an element of thinking about my weight quite a bit. And, you know, I think it really came full circle when I started coaching for Girls on the Run. And I'm starting to teach these girls that, you know, they should be proud of what their bodies can do, not what they look like. That's not what your value should be on.
And for people who don't know what Girls on the Run is, it's not just a running program, but there's a curriculum that goes
right
along with this program that builds up to running a 5K. But the curriculum is really the focus, and it's about healthy body image,
mm-hmm,
and good relationship skills and positive self-talk and all of these things you're talking about.
Exactly. And I think probably the biggest component of Girls on the Run that kind of helped me realize this transformation that I had was the whole negative self-talk aspect of it. In my head, we all have it, right? This negative self-talk telling you don't look right, you don't weigh the right thing, you don't look the right way, you don't look like that person or that person, or the girl in the magazine. And I never really tried to combat those negative thoughts. I just went with them and I said, yep, you're right. Get back out there, start exercising, restricting calories, whatever you need to do to look that way. And now when I have those thoughts, and I still do, I mean, you know, that's going to happen. It's not just like all rainbows in my head. It's there are some negative thoughts in there as well. And I have just learned how to combat that with positive self-talk and thinking about the accomplishments that I've been so lucky to have over the past few years.
And so when those thoughts creep in, what do you do?
I stop and I'm like, okay, think about, you know, your accomplishments the past year. You can run 100 miles, Kelly. Who cares if your arms aren't toned right now, you know, or if you're feeling a little fluffy? Like, who cares? Like, your body did an incredible thing. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Talking about this, I want more women to realize that it's really freeing to have a goal that's not revolved around the way your body looks or the number on the scale, but an accomplishment, whether that's starting to walk for the, you know, walk 30 minutes for the first time, or do the couch to 5K, or anything, try climbing or rollerblading, whatever makes you feel good. That sense of accomplishment that is not so much revolved around the way you look.
One of the things that is very common with women who struggle in this way or who deal with body image issues, eating disorders, is that the thing that they see in the mirror doesn't really reflect reality. And I'm wondering if that's changed for you. Can you see yourself as you really are? Because clearly you were not seeing yourself before.
Correct. I think that is a big component of it. You know, I look at myself and I'm it's not just a visual anymore. It's a representation of a journey. And, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't have those negative thoughts, but it's kind of more of a whole picture of myself as a person, as a social, emotional, physical person, not just the way I look.
Writing this was really hard for you. And you've dedicated a lot of your life to preaching all of these important lessons that you've learned and teaching young girls as a coach. You've coached Girls on the Run for, is it?
6 years.
6 years now. You're the chair of the board of Girls on the Run of Eastern Iowa. So you're impacting thousands of girls, really. Why was it so hard for you to share your true story?
I think because, you know, I've been open and honest about it. About having struggled with my body image, but I never really told the true story. One, because I think I was embarrassed about it. I don't know. It was just hard. And this is hard. but I think it's just important because people who know me would never think I went through something like that. And I could be hopefully helping other women understand they're not alone. Like, this is something, whether you have gone through an actual eating disorder or you just have a weird relationship with food that maybe you dedicate too much time in your brain to, that's really frustrating to me how much time and effort I put into thinking about numbers. Hoping that they can realize a little bit that they're so much more than that.
Have you been surprised by the number of women who have said, wow, your story sounds so much like my story?
Unfortunately, yeah. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case, but it was. And that just showed me that it was important to share.
Now, clearly you are a superhero and running 100 miles proves that. But you don't have to do that.
No. There are so many ways to be proud of yourself. You do not have to run 100 miles.
Well, Kelly Teasling, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Kelly Teasling, she can run 100 miles. She is an ultra marathoner. She's the marketing coordinator for recreational services at the University of Iowa. She is a Girls on the Run coach and the chair of the board for Girls on the Run of Eastern Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.